If you've spent a bit of time on social media, you've likely spotted a photo followed by hashtag blessed. The photo might be of someone after their engagement or at the birth of their first child or in front of the first home they've bought. They could even be on a yacht in the Caribbean, and they post the picture and say, relaxing on this 80-footer in this beautiful weather, hashtag blessed. And you think, really? Is that what it means to be blessed? Using the word blessed on social media often feels like a form of humble bragging, a way of boasting or showing off without really showing off. I'm just blessed. Some folks at least acknowledge the irony of how casually we use the word blessed. Comedian Tom Haverford once tweeted, "Four green lights in a row, hashtag blessed." Is a blessing just when something good happens to us? Last year, a young person here at COS asked me, "What's the difference between blessing and privilege?" Woo! Talk about a question. I wish I'd had a good answer offhand. I didn't, but that's the right sort of question to ask, especially for prosperous and affluent folks like me. The word blessed has been so cheapened in our culture. And that becomes all the more clear when we read these blessings that Jesus speaks. I've never seen someone post on social media, "I'm in a spiritual wilderness right now. I feel empty and in need. Hashtag blessed." Never seen that. And yet Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, the spiritually needy." And all of a sudden, our rosy ideas about blessing get flipped on their head. How are the spiritually needy blessed? How are those who mourn, who are sad, blessed? How are those who hurt and are made fun of, blessed? When Jesus speaks these words to his disciples, it hasn't been that long since he first called them to follow me. Already they've given up so much to follow Jesus, and they're beginning to feel the cost of their discipleship. We read at the opening of chapter 5, there's Jesus, the crowds, and the disciples. The disciples were once just part of the crowd, but Jesus has called them out to be set apart. In this case, he invites them up the mountainside to join him. He invites them further up into the high country of discipleship, where the landscape is rugged, but the views can be breathtaking. So the disciples are now visibly set apart from the crowd. And Jesus gives them something like an inaugural address, putting words around what it means to follow him, to be a disciple. Last Sunday, Reverend Dale Cooper offered a challenging invitation to follow Jesus' call toward the cross. And this text today keeps us moving in that direction. Reverend Cooper mentioned the German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer wrote a book called Discipleship. And I found Bonhoeffer's interpretation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount to be so helpful. Bonhoeffer reads these blessings as addressed specifically to the disciples, specifically to the disciples. The crowd may overhear, but these words are intended for Jesus' followers. In his Matthew commentary, Dale Bruner divides these blessings into three parts. The need blessings in verses 3 to 6. Then the help blessings in verses 7 to 9, and finally the hurt blessings in verses 10 to 12. And Bruner uses three postures to illustrate these blessings. And to help us visualize that, I'm going to need three volunteers to invite me here in front of the table. Who's feeling courageous? You don't have to say anything. I'm not going to ask you a question. I see a hand in the back. Come on up, young man. Okay, yeah? Yeah, see, come on up. So you three. That wasn't so bad. I thought it might be like an altar call and everyone's. So if you three could just stand, one of you over there. Why don't you go over there? No, Sandy, you can sit here. You go over there. Right here, okay, and you're here. So for these three groups of blessings, first there's the need blessings, okay? Can you get on your knees and hold out your hands in a posture of openness, of receiving? Jesus, this is the first set of need blessings. Blessed are the spiritually needy. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, who know they need, who sense their emptiness. Okay? Now, these are the help blessings. Sandy, could you hold out your hands like you're serving or helping? Okay? These are the second group of blessings, the help blessings. Blessed are those who show mercy, who make peace, those who have been filled up and are now sharing the gifts of the Spirit. All right, you have the hardest part. I'm going to need you to lay down on your back, okay? All right, with your hands up like you need help, okay? So this represents the hurt blessings, those who've been persecuted for doing what's right, those who've been insulted, those about whom lies have been spread for the sake of Jesus. It's a very good face, even. You can't see that. He's in need. Where do you see yourself in these three postures today? I'm guessing some of you fit into every one. It probably depends on the day, the season of life, a time when you feel empty and in need, like God is silent. Or maybe you feel filled up and you're sharing and you're serving. Or maybe you feel on your back. Okay. I'm tempted to leave them here for the rest of my sermon, and I can continue teaching as a visual reminder, but I'll let you return to your seat. So let's thank them for their courage. I'm just showing you mercy, so then I'll be blessed. So. Dale Bruner calls those movements the aerobics of discipleship. The aerobics of discipleship. Jesus opens his sermon with those need blessings. Jesus' call to follow him has already made these disciples needy, materially and spiritually. All that they once held dear has been stripped away. They've left their work. They've left their home, they've left their families and friends to follow Jesus. And now their ideas about true religion are being reformed, deconstructed, and rebuilt. Talk about a season of pruning. They're learning the hard lesson of dependence. And yet Jesus offers assurance that on the other side of the emptiness is the kingdom of God. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and last Sunday we celebrated Christ's ascension. In the book of Acts, do you remember what the disciples did between Christ's ascension and Pentecost? Do you know what they did? They waited, and they prayed. They waited and they prayed. They waited to receive the gift the Father had promised, the gift of the Spirit to be filled. And they went out to do many wonders and miraculous signs in Christ's name. This is the movement of discipleship from dependence on God, recognizing our need and our emptiness, to being filled up so that we can then go out and extend and share God's blessings with others. Jesus sees the crowd, and he makes his way up the mountainside I imagine the disciples seeing Jesus go up and thinking, oh, that's my cue. Excuse me, I need to go up here, higher up with the teacher, with Jesus. And then Jesus begins to teach them, and any ideas about their place of privilege or their sense of entitlement or their holiness begins to be stripped away. Jesus is saying, this is what it will mean to follow me. You might be above the crowds with me, but it's not because you're more holy, not because you're particularly gifted. It's only so that I can fill you up so that you may then extend my blessings to the crowd. You belong back in the crowd. Jesus expands this movement of discipleship in his following teaching. You are the salt of the earth. Salt is a preservative. It was in the ancient world. You are the salt of the earth. That might be a good tagline for our creation care team. What it means to preserve the world, that we're called to that work. You are the light of the world. And yet, that service and witness can lead to persecution and suffering. And Jesus speaks those hurt blessings in verses 10 to 12. Bonhoeffer says that it's in that moment of discipleship that the cross comes clearly into view. Persecution might feel like a strange idea to many of us. We may think of martyrs in the early church or leaders for justice in more recent history. But there are Christians in this room who know persecution. They know what it is to speak out for justice in their home country and to get on the government's bad list and to have to leave. There are Christians in this room who come from a Muslim background, and they know the cost of following Jesus. They know what it means for ties with family and friends to be cut. They know what it is to be persecuted for the sake of Jesus Christ. And even if you haven't been persecuted for your faith, you've suffered. You know what it's like to be on your back, reaching up to heaven for help. From needing, to helping, to hurting, and back again. We see this pattern again and again in the scriptures. Just read the Psalms through that lens. You'll see it. You'll see it again and again. Look at the life of Jesus. He would leave the crowds to go off alone and pray, Father, I need you. Fill me up. He goes back and he sees the crowds and their needs and their hunger and their confusion, and he has compassion on them. And he pours out his love. He pours out healing. He teaches them. And then it's not long before the Jewish leaders are after Jesus, running him out of town, trying to stone him, making a plan to kill him. Eventually they succeed. Look at the life of Paul, who finds himself in Damascus blind and helpless. His world has been turned upside down. His ideas about the truth have been shifted so dramatically. And he has to receive, he has to be cared for, and then he has to be discipled in the way of Jesus. He has to be taught. But then, after 3 years, he goes out. He goes out and he extends the message of Jesus to the crowd of the Mediterranean world. And it's not long before he's in prison. And he's on trial in Rome. And eventually, it will cost him his life as well. Okay, Pastor, you haven't gotten to the real question. How can emptiness and need and persecution and suffering be blessings? Some of you know Dr. Kate Bowler. You've heard that name. She spoke at Calvin College recently. I think Kristen DeMay, if she's here, I think she might be friends with Kate Bowler. Dr. Bowler is a leading scholar of the American prosperity gospel. And she's wrote the definitive history of that movement. In fact, her book on that is entitled Blessed. It has a cross with gemstones on it. The prosperity gospel is the message, the popular message, that if we have the right kind of faith, if we just believe enough, we've got it made. God will bless us. You just have to believe. Well, in 2015, when Dr. Bowler was 35 years old, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And she continues to battle that today. Just in February, she released a book entitled Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved. In the book, Bowler struggles to make sense of how God is and isn't involved in her battle with cancer. And in the middle of the book, she writes about a time when she went home to her church and she saw her old Sunday school teacher, Carol. This was before Kate's own diagnosis with cancer, but I'd like to read about that interaction. A couple Christmases ago, I saw Carol over one of the pews and reached out to give her a hug, remembering only at the last second that she had recently been diagnosed with cancer. I couldn't figure out what to say when we pulled away, and I found I was just staring into her smiling face, stammering about how sorry I was. She looked back at me with such calm and said something I have never heard anyone say. Kate, I have known Christ in so many good times. And now I will know him better in his sufferings. Carol meant it. And I could not imagine a world in which I could mean it. I have known Christ in so many good times. And now I will know him better in his sufferings. It's easy to feel blessed when we're extending and serving and sharing God's blessings with others, when we feel filled up and sent out, when we sense the presence of the Spirit in our lives. But we're also blessed when we're driven to our knees in dependence, or when we find ourselves on our backs in suffering. Because even in that, perhaps especially in that, we will know Christ better. We are blessed throughout our journeys as disciples. That's what Jesus is trying to tell the disciples, that no matter where you're at, I'm with you. You are blessed because I'm with you. Whether it's up on the mountainside or down in the mess and chaos of the crowds. In Matthew's gospel, these are Jesus' last words to his disciples. And you can be sure that I am with you always, even to the very end. We are blessed because Christ is with us all the way. And nothing can change that. Not life, not death, not angels or rulers or principalities. Not height, not depth, not another school shooting, not a cancer diagnosis, not the death of a loved one, not an unexpected illness. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because even when we walk through the darkest valley, I will not fear, for you are with me. You are with me. And there is no greater blessing than that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.